Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We welcome you to the airwaves of Radio Islam International this Sunday morning. Alhamdulillah, it is the month of Ramadan and our dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us the tawfiq, the divine inspiration that we can take maximum benefit from this beautiful, from this noble and from this auspicious month of Ramadan. Remember, dear listeners, the reminder is for myself as well. For myself, firstly, that this is the month of Ramadan and this is a month that we have been waiting so patiently. Every year we wait for this month to come. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us through His mercy and through His kindness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has now granted us this month. It should not happen that we allow this month to go by and we do not gain the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we do not take maximum benefit from this month. So therefore, ulama ikram explain and teach us that we should not wait, we should not delay when it comes to the doing of good deeds throughout the year, especially in this month of Ramadan. If you know we're going to say that, no, I'll start my Quran khitam and I'll start increasing my salah, just let 1 or 2 weeks go by, then I'll start, or let me wait for the last 10 days, then, you know, it can happen that the last 10 days will even come and those last 10 days will even go and we will still be left wanting and we will wonder where the time had gone. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq and the inspiration that we can save ourselves from that and we can increase in our good deeds. Recital of the Quran. This is the month of Quran. Shahru Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Quran. It is indeed undoubtedly the month of the Quran, and definitely we should be increasing in our recital of the Quran as well as other good deeds. This is the Q&A program which will be taking place every Sunday as well as a Tuesday as well. The Tuesday program will be taking place at night. I think Marana Habib Bobat hosts that program. But every Sunday morning between the hours of 9 and 11, we will be having the Q&A program. And obviously these programs are very, very important because there are many topics, many parts of Islam, many different aspects of Islam that we need clarity on, that we need these answers and these issues to be answered for us. Alhamdulillah, now we have Mufti Siraj Desai that will be answering our questions today. Mufti Saab is from Port Elizabeth, the friendly city of Port Elizabeth. Mufti Saab is also the principal of Darul Ulum Abu Bakr in Port Elizabeth. We welcome Mufti Saab on the program. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you keeping this the Sunday morning, Mufti Saab?
Alhamdulillah, very well.
Mufti Saab, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you in abundance for availing your time and sharing your knowledge with us.
Ameen, ameen.
To start off with the questions, we do remind the listeners that there's various platforms that you can send your questions through to us. The one is to phone directly at the studio, 011-854-1548, 854-1548. Alternatively, you can send us your questions. You could use the normal studio WhatsApp number, 48855, or you could send us personally messages on our phone. That will be 060-988-3972, 060-988-3972, or the WhatsApp studio number, 48855. You can keep those questions rolling in, and inshallah, Mufti Saab will be answering those questions. To start off, Mufti Saab, there is a person that has sent a message through. The person wants to know, what is the best time to perform the Fajr Salah?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Regarding the Fajr Salah, the time for Fajr, just like in many of the other masail related to Salah, there are the two mazhabs, the Shafi and the Hanafi mazhab, Shafi time, Hanafi time, and we have this with, for example, the Asr Salah, the Isha Salah as well. In the Hanafi mazhab, the best time, the mustahab time for Fajr Salah is when it's a little bit light. So that's about, say, 35 minutes before sunrise, when it's light and you can see things outside. That is the mustahab time for the Fajr Salah. In the Shafi mazhab, the mustahab time is the awwal waqt. That means just when the Salah time, when the Fajr time enters, just after Subuh Sadiq, that the start of the Fajr time. And that's in the Shafi mazhab. Again, I say these are the different mazhab related to the salah, related to our namaz. So according to us, according to the Ahnaf, the best and the mustahab time is when it is a little bit light and you can see yourself, you can see things outside, and that is about 30 to 35 minutes before sunrise. Though this is the mustahab time, but of course, for performing that Fajr Salah at any time during the valid time will be permissible, and there's nothing wrong. Mustahab means something that if you do it, the reward is greater. If you don't, there is no sin in leaving it out. So anytime you make the salah from Subuh Sadiq till sunrise, till before sunrise, that will be of course valid and acceptable. But in the Hanafi Mazhab, the Mustahab time is, as I said, about 30 minutes or so before the sun rises.
JazakAllah for that, Muftisab. Muftisab, the other question is with regards to vomiting while fasting. Does vomiting while fasting cause the fast to break?
If the vomit comes out on its own accord, it's not induced. If one vomits just accidentally or unintentionally, no matter how much vomit comes out, it will not break the fast. The only time vomit breaks the fast is if it is induced, if one causes himself or herself to vomit, and then it will only break the fast in such a case when the vomit is a mouthful, and a mouthful means that it's so much that you can't keep it back. So if one just vomits like that involuntarily, then no matter how much comes out, that vomit will not break the fast.
JazakAllah. Mufti Sahab, the person is asking, it's the ninth week of pregnancy for my wife. Can my wife fast in the days of Ramadan?
It depends on her physical well-being. And I always mention this, what I've heard from a Muslim male gynecologist many years ago, that he used to tell his patients, he used to advise them, depending on their physical well-being, depending on how their health is, and also how good the pregnancy is progressing, he would tell them right in the last, right up to the last month of the pregnancy, they would they were able to fast. Now, in the ninth week, that's probably now into the third month, there can be some complications. Women can feel weak at that point in time. So if she is feeling weak, feeling faint, and doesn't feel able to observe the fast, then it's permissible for her not to fast, but then the qada must be kept after Ramadan.
JazakAllah. Muftisab, we have a caller on the line. Caller, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay, the call has been dropped. You can call back the number 011-854-1548. The studio WhatsApp number is working as well, alhamdulillah, today. You can send your messages, WhatsApp messages, through that platform. Or if you want, you can even send it personally to ourselves, 060-988-3972. And on our number, you can send SMS messages as well as WhatsApp messages. Muftisab, the person, we have a message coming through. I think the person is getting ready for Eid quite early. The person asks, Assalamu alaikum, are Eid gifts a sunnah on Eid day?
To give Eid gifts is not a sunnah. This is not part of the, or it was not among the practices of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam or the Sahaba kiram, but it doesn't mean if it is not sunnah that you can't do it. There are things that you are allowed to do, it's permissible to do, as long as you don't consider it as sunnah, as long as you don't consider it as something of religious significance. Now remember, giving gifts at any time, that is a sunnah. Not confining it to Eid at any time, whether it's on Eid, whether it's after Eid, whether it's before Ramadan, you don't have to have a specific occasion to give gifts. Some people give the gifts on Muharram, 10th of Muharram. Now that also becomes, that can develop into a bid'ah when people now consider this as something Islamic. So likewise, to give gifts on the day of Eid is not a sunnah, and there is no Islamic significance to it. If a person wants to do it out of happiness, you're giving something to someone, then that's permissible. But don't regard it as a sunnah, and don't believe that while there is extra reward for giving the gift on Eid day compared to any other day. It's the same. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that tahadu tahabu, exchange gifts, so that you can also increase and exchange love for each other. So that's the idea behind the gift. So whether you do it on Eid day, any other day, that itself is a separate sunnah. But to do it on Eid day, it doesn't mean that this is now something of extra reward or significance.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Sahib. The question comes through with regards to vehicle finance. Is it permissible to get finance from an Islamic bank, and what about normal banks?
If the transaction or the deal is done properly, then through the Islamic banks, that will definitely be permissible because it's done on a lease basis. And even if you go through the conventional banks and you explain them how would you like the finance to be structured, and they must be explained that you don't want to have any fluctuation in the installments. That can be structured. They can tailor make something for a person. I've spoken to one or two people and they did mention this. Otherwise, the Islamic banks will do it in a proper way. And yes, so if the whole deal is structured, the transaction is done properly, then that will be totally valid in Sharia. The Islamic banks and the finance, the vehicle finance that they provide, it will be permissible.
JazakAllah. Mufti Sahib, you have an SMS question coming through. Assalamu alaikum. Maulana, I wanted to find out about haid. If your haid continues more than 10 days and your normal habit is 10 days, what is the ruling on fasting and salah?
Yes, that's quite straightforward. If a woman's normal period is 10 days, then the moment the 10 days is over, even if she's still bleeding, she will make ghusl and she will continue. She will resume her fast and her salah, etc. Now, when we say 10 days, there we need to be very specific. 10 days will mean exactly 10 times 24 hours. So 240 hours, that will be the 10 days in the case of a woman when the bleeding goes more than 10 days. So she needs to know, she needs to determine, she must make note of when the hair started. And then she'll be able to determine when is my 10 days up. And after the 10 days, she doesn't need to wait for anything. She will make ghusl and start fasting and start the salah, etc. And then that extra bleeding that takes place after 10 days, that will be considered as istihaba. And if it is if it is incessant and continuous, then she will qualify as a ma'zur. That means for every salah, every new salah that comes in, when the time comes in, she makes a fresh wudu and she can continue reading sunnahs, nafil, qada, salah during that time, even if there is flow, even if there is bleeding. And the next salah that comes in, that wudu will break, she makes wudu for the new salah and so forth until the bleeding stops entirely.
Okay, our engineer indicating there's a caller on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jee, walaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
I want to find out a question about the, can you get a local anesthetic in while you're fasting? Or a, and assuming if you have to go for an emergency endoscopy or a colonoscopy.
Okay, JazakAllah Mufti Sahib, I'll respond.
Okay, with regards to the anesthetic itself, that itself doesn't break the fast. But remember, the only time you'll go for an anesthetic is, as you said, it's when you are going to have some operation done, colonoscopy or a maybe something inserted into the body, that will break the fast. So we need to understand that the anesthetic itself will not nullify your roza, your fast, but it is the subsequent procedure that will take place. Whatever operation or whatever scope will be inserted into the body, definitely that will nullify the fast.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Sahib. We have another question coming through. The person says that I was keeping a qada roza and at about 11 a.m. I felt sick. Subsequently, I broke my fast. Do I have to keep qada of this qada fast?
There is no separate qada that you have to keep. What happened here is you were keeping a qada fast, and when you broke it, it means now that qada that you kept was not fulfilled. So that one qada still remains on your shoulders, it still remains your responsibility to discharge. There is no extra qada you need to keep. In other words, there is no qada for a qada. It still remains that one fast that you had to keep, and that's it. So you don't need to make now another extra fast as a qada for the qada that you broke.
JazakAllah Mufti Sahib, another question coming through via the SMS platform reads, Assalamu alaikum, my mom is 86 years old, she fell, knocked her head and then had dementia, passed away 4 months later in this condition, for the 4 months she couldn't pray her salah, do we have to pay her fidya?
There's no fidya in this case. If she was in this condition, then the salah was automatically waived for her, so you don't need to worry and there's no fidya to be paid for her.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Sahib. Another question coming through, the person asks that if the imam is, and I think the reason why they're saying this, Malawian, because maybe the beard doesn't grow, etc. So the person says the imam has no beard, can he perform the Farid Salah?
If the imam is such that naturally his beard doesn't grow, then that's not a sin. The sin is when a person has a beard that grows and then shaves it or doesn't allow the beard to grow. But if people, you find it doesn't have to be, we don't need to even speak of nationalities. You look at naturally people from different ethnic groups, doesn't matter who, but you find I've met people also that just naturally they just can't, the beard doesn't grow. You might have a few strands coming out. So that is a natural thing that one is not held responsible for. You're not obliged or you're not sinful if that beard doesn't grow. The sin is, as I said, the beard that grows and one keeps on shaving it off. So in this case, if it is a natural thing with the imam, it will be permissible for him to lead the salah.
JazakAllah for that. Mufti Sahib, another question coming through. Can one hire a premises to a funeral parlor?
Yes, it is permissible to lease out or to let out premises to the non-Muslim funeral parlors who will conduct their funerals. That is permissible, and the rental that is received from there is halal.
Okay, back to the WhatsApp messages now. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I want to know, when one goes for Umrah, can one make dawah for deceased parents and for family members back home?
Yes, you can make tawaf for any other family members, especially those who are deceased. And we always remind people that if you are in Umrah, then once you've done your Umrah, the next best thing is to make excessive tawaf. Nafil tawaf is better than making extra Umrahs. This is written in the books of fiqh. So when you're making tawaf, you can make a niyat for deceased parents and also for people back home. It means they will get the reward of that tawaf.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Sahib. Other questions coming on the studio WhatsApp number. The question reads, Assalamu alaikum Marana, I'd like to find out that if I have a lot of qadha fast, do I have to keep the qadha fast or can I give some money out as kafara?
Basically, you must keep the qadha fast. The qadha will not just fall away like that. The only time when the qada will cease to be necessary, when it will, like I said, fall away, is when a person is physically not capable of fasting. You develop such a sickness, or maybe you become so old or so weak that you are unable to keep the fast. Then in this case, the fidya will apply, then you are allowed to give the fidya. So what we tell people that you got to try and keep the qada fast. Remember one thing, that if you delay the qada fast, that is a sin in itself. If you delay it for reasons that are not valid or for reasons that are not recognized by Sharia, just maybe through negligence or laziness, you delay the qada fast, then that is a sin. If after delaying it for years, you start developing this illness or you reach a stage where the body is too weak to fast, then definitely the fidya will apply and the qada will fall away. But remember, you were sinful for delaying it, for not keeping the qada when you were capable, when you had the strength to do so. So therefore we say that the qada has to be kept. And with qada, remember, you can fast one qada a month, one a week, two a month. You've got choices, you've got options, you can spread it over. So it's really not, we cannot understand why people should delay keeping the qada. And again, I say that the fidya does not apply. Once, as long as you have your physical strength and your well-being, it is wajib to keep the qada.
JazakAllah Mufti Sahib. the message reads, Assalamu alaikum, Jazakallah to Mufti Saab for responding to my question on the tawaf. I now have another question. Can a lady make tawaf alone, that is, without her husband?
Yes, it is permissible for the female to make tawaf alone without the accompaniment of the husband. And as always, even if the husband is there, as always, the female will try and make tawaf on the outer circle of the mataf. She doesn't have to go very far out. Of course, we know it's sometimes difficult, but as far as away from the men as possible. And that too is a bit difficult nowadays from what I hear, the amount of people in the mataf area. But she should try and be away, or it might be follow a route around the Kaaba Sharif where there are less men, or where she won't come into contact with men. But it is permissible for her to make the tawaf on her own without the husband.
Jazakallah for that, Mufti Saab. Another question, Assalamu alaikum. Is it preferable for a man to wear black kurtas, a dark blue, orange, etc.?
There's no preference in these colors. The only color that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has preferred, and he also, the Sahaba say, Kana ahabbu thiyabi ila Rasulillahi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam al-biyab. It is the white garment that was most beloved to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In fact, black is something that we shouldn't wear often, the black color, and orange will not be permissible. Orange, I'm speaking of the bright orange, that is not permissible for men, it's permissible for the females. And navy blue, those colors are permissible, but there's no preference to these colors. The preference is only to the color white, which is also the color that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam often wore.
Assalamu alaikum. I wear the khufain for a period of time while I am still in a state of a valid wudu. I remove it because I am feeling hot. Does this removal itself invalidate my wudu?
Removal of the khufain doesn't break the wudu, but it breaks your masa. So all you need to do, if you want to continue with salah after removing the khufain and you still have your wudu, you need to wash the feet. You need to wash the feet. Then you can read Quran, you can touch the Quran, you can read your salah. Until you haven't washed the feet, you won't be able to perform your salah, even if you put the khufain back on. In fact, if you put the khufain back on, your masa will not be valid. So removal of the khuf means masa is broken, wudu so remains intact. And in order to be able to continue making masa with the khufain, you'll need to wash the feet and then wear the leather socks again.
Okay, Jazakallah for that, Mufti Saab. The question now reads, Assalamu alaikum, my friend was fasting and she collapsed. The paramedics put up an IV drip, however she recovered thereafter. Is her fast still valid?
In this case, the fast is still valid. The drip that was inserted, and we're assuming now that the normal drip that goes into the veins, that will not invalidate the fast. It will not nullify the fast. So if she regained conscious, and while she was unconscious, no medication was ministered to her orally, the fast is still intact and she can continue fasting.
Jazakumullah. Mufti Saab, another question reads, Assalamu alaikum, is it advisable to use the words Ramadan Kareem to give a Ramadan message to someone?
You can use it. It's permissible to use these words, Ramadan Kareem, Ramadan Mubarak. Closer to the sunnah will be to use the word Mubarak, because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam once said to the Sahaba, as it comes in the hadith of Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, that qad adallakum shahrun azim, great month has dawned upon you, and it is a month that is blessed by Allah. Mubarak means something in which barakah has been placed, something that has been blessed. So using the word Mubarak, as I said, is closer to the sunnah, but again, I mean, describing the Ramadan, it'll be better to say it's a Mubarak month instead of saying it's a Kareem month or Ramadan Kareem. Ramadan Kareem is more of a modern terminology that the Arabs started using among in their circles. But to greet someone with Ramadan Mubarak or Ramadan Kareem, remember, this is not a sunnah. There's no Islamic significance in this. It's not something that you do, or something that is mustahab, or something that you'll get special reward. But we say it is jaiz, it is permissible, there's no restriction on this. You give a person a dua like this to say that may your Ramadan be blessed, Because at the end of the day, as I said, the Hadith Sharif does mention that Ramadan is a Mubarak month.
Jazakumullah. Mufti Sahib, the question now reads, Assalamu alaikum, I just want to ask, if I get a cut and it bleeds heavily, does it cause my fast to break?
No bleeding, no amount of bleeding will cause the fast to break. So if you cut yourself anywhere in the body and it bleeds, the fast doesn't break at all.
Another question. Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Sahib, I'd like to know, does a person need to read Sana in the beginning of Tarawih Salah?
Yes, the Sana is sunnat, just like all the other namazes, your nafil namaz, your farz, your witr, your wajib salah, your qada salah. Likewise in Tarawih salah, that sana should not be left out. It is a sunnah, and we say sunnah means that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam read it, so it is a sunnah of salah, and unnecessarily we don't need to leave the sunnah of the salah out. When making Tarawih salah, it doesn't mean now that we must cut that salah so short, cut corners here and there, and we strip the salah of all its extra virtues. You can read your sana, you can even read it a little bit faster, read your durood, read a short durood, a short dua at the end. We don't leave out these azkar in the salah.
Jazakallah for that, Mufti Sahib. I do believe we have a caller on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
Jiapa, you can go ahead.
My question is, say we make wuzu, and then just after the wuzu, now we're going to read our salah or the Quran or something like that.
Okay.
And there we break wind.
Okay.
What do we do in this case?
Okay, Mufti Sahib will respond.
All right, Jazakallah.
Jazakallah, Pa.
Mufti
Sahib, you got the question?
I got the question. The wudu will break, of course. The only thing there is you'll have to repeat the wudu. So remember, there's no other way out. If one made wudu and then one passed wind, the wudu breaks and you'll have to make a fresh wudu for that amal that you need to do, reading Quran or reading Salah. While making wudu as well, if you are busy with wudu, say you are halfway through the wudu and a person passed wind, then also that wudu breaks. You've got to start the wudu over again. You can't say, well, I'm not yet finished wudu, let me carry on and do the other parts. No, that wudu is invalidated. You've got to start it over again. And if a person is suffering from a problem, stomach problem, and the winds keep on coming out, then that's a different mas'ala there we need to consider. And if this is the case, the question can come in again as to how that person can qualify as a ma'zur. But basically, if you made wudu and then you pass wind, after that the wudu breaks and you'd have to repeat that wudu before you can make salah.
Jazakallah for that, Mufti Sahib. Another caller on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
Ji Apa, you can go ahead.
I would like to know that can you take mesoplate injection in the stomach while you're fasting?
Can you take what injection, Appa?
Methotrexate.
Methotrexate, okay. Mufti Sahib will respond.
Okay, basically any injection will not nullify the fast. I'm not sure of the nature of this particular injection, but we say that anything that is injected into the body, into the veins, etc., that will not break the fast. So in this case also, if it is that type of injection that is ministered into the vein, then your fast is valid and you can continue fasting.
Jazakallah for that, Mufti Sahib. Another question coming through. Assalamu alaikum. What happens when you can't afford to pay the fidya for the fast?
If one cannot pay the fidya, then we first go back to the qada. We look at the qada. If you are unable to keep the qada, either due to, as I mentioned earlier on in one of the other answers, that when qada becomes wajib, qada must be kept. So if a person is not able to keep the qada for reasons such as illness, weakness, feebleness, a person is very frail, old age, then the fidya comes in and the fidya has to be given. Now, if a person cannot give the fidya, there are some options that one can explore. One is this: you can ask someone to pay the fidya on your behalf. You can maybe go to some organization that does help the poor, relief or welfare organizations, and say, this is my predicament. And after you've tried that and still there is no way that you find yourself being able to pay the fidya, then that fidya will just fall away. But you need to make lots of tawbah to Allah that you did not keep the qada when you were capable of doing so, and repent to Allah. And one day when you come into possession of some money, someone gives you money, then slowly you can pay the fidya. That's another thing we can also consider as an option. The fidya is not a large amount. Nowadays, according to what I've seen in the different centers, the fidya ranges between 20 rand, 20 to 25 rands. So as you have money, you don't need to pay all at one time. Say you got 40 fast or 30 fast to keep, or 30 fast to pay fidya for, you can pay it out little by little, even if it means you're giving a small amount at a time, but you keep a record of what you're paying, and who knows that before one leaves this dunya, one will be able to settle that entire fidya amount. So these are the options that one has.
Jazakallah for that, Mufti Sahib. Assalamu alaikum. Is my wudu valid if I first make wudu, then read my salah, and then I wear the khufain?
Yes, that is valid. You can make wudu, because in either case, you have to have a complete wudu, or at least the feet should be washed before putting on the khufain. So if you made wudu, you read salah, and after that, you did not break the wudu, now, that's another condition. You didn't break the wudu, you still had wudu, and then you wore the khufain, then that is valid, and you can continue making masaf.
We have two callers on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay, one is dropped. Is the second one there? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Right,
Jiapa, you can go ahead.
My question is with regards to exams. We are writing university exams, and it falls within the time of Asr and Maghrib, so from half past 2 to half past 5. And now the times in Durban, Asr falls within between half past 3 and 4 o'clock, and Maghrib is about 5 past 5, 10 past 5. So what do we do regarding Salah while we are writing exams?
Okay, Jazakallah, Mufti Sahib will respond.
Okay,
Mufti Sahib?
I didn't get the first part of the question. What was the... Malik, can you just give me the gist of the question?
The person did ask with regards to the Salah times. They were giving some Salah times there. That first part they were saying about some area, and I myself didn't get that area itself. And then they said in the Durban area, between that Asr time sets in from after half past 3, and then when it comes to Maghrib is performed at about 10 past 5. So they asked what time should they read the Asr Salah.
Okay, I'm going to, whatever I understood from the question will answer, but if the sister didn't get the proper answer, then maybe she can just call back, or maybe just send a WhatsApp message into the studio.
Okay.
But remember, Asr Salah, if assuming your Maghrib Salah is, as she said, in Durban, it's I think 5 past or 10 past 5, and you hadn't read Asr, you can read your Asr right till that time. Remember, for that particular day, the Asr Salah for that day is permissible if you hadn't read it right up till the time for Maghrib. Even if you start it now, of course, you are looking at the person who is circumstances have forced that person to delay the Asr. It wasn't something that you did deliberately, because to delay the Salah is a major sin. Maybe there was some person got caught up in traffic or traveling, whatever, and the sun is about to set. But if it is not yet Maghrib time, you can start your Asr. It will be valid, and you read it into the Maghrib time. Once the Adhan goes for Maghrib, that's the time of Iftar, then you have missed your Asr Salah, then that will be made as Qada. So if there's anything else to the question, I ask the sister just to either call in again, or maybe just send a written question.
Okay, Jazakallah for that, Mufti Sahib. For the caller that sent in, the last caller that we had with regards to that the times of Salah, Asr Salah or Maghrib Salah, your line was not too clear. We could not get the full question. Mufti Sahib has answered it to the best of his ability based on what we have heard. But if there's anything outstanding, then please, you can either call us back. I think maybe preferably now it will be better to call in after the 10 o'clock news. Or if you want, you can send type out that question and send it to us, and we can read it out, and Mufti Sahib will then respond. respond. Mufti Saab, before we go to the news break, one question that comes here. Till what time can a person read Maghrib Salah?
Maghrib Salah can be read for about 1 hour, 15 minutes after sunset. That's a safe time, 1 hour, 15 minutes, because after that now, the Isha Salah time starts to set in. So 1 hour, 15 minutes, and to delay it, of course, till that time is makruh. It's makruh, it's sinful, but it will still be valid, and that will not be counted. The Maghrib Salah at that time will not be counted as qada. So about 1 hour, 15 minutes from the time of sunset.
Jazakallah for that, Mufti Saab. We are now going to break for the news. After the news, we will be back. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We welcome you back to Radio Islam International this Sunday morning. We're now into the second hour of our Q&A, our question and answer session. Alhamdulillah, during the first session, there were many questions that came through. We tried to take most of your questions. Inshallah, in this segment, we'll try and wrap up the rest of those questions. Please, you can keep those questions coming in. As those questions come in, we ourselves are learning a lot. The different platforms on which you can send your questions through. You could call in at the studio 011-854-1548. Alternatively, the studio WhatsApp number 48855 or the personal WhatsApp number 060-988-3972. Our Mufti on the line that is answering our questions today is Mufti Siraj Desai. Mufti Saab, you are back with us.
Indeed.
Jazakallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you in abundance for your time. To start off for this segment now, Mufti Saab, I believe we already have a caller on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ji, Apa.
Mulana, I'm calling with regards to the same question regarding exams.
Okay.
Mulana, I'll hold the line just in case Mufti Saab does have any clarification that he needs. So the question was, the exam is from 2:30 to 5:30.
Okay.
Today our exam, right. And the time for Asr and Maghrib falls in that time.
Okay.
So Asr is between 3:30 and 4:00, and Maghrib is at 5:05 or 5:10, the latest.
Mm.
But the exam finishes at 5:30, and under no circumstances are we allowed to leave the exam hall.
Okay. All right. Jazakallah. We've now understood the question. Mufti Saab will respond.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم وآله وصحبه أجمعين. Okay, now we understand the question is about exams.
Okay.
Now, as far as Maghrib is concerned, that won't be a problem because you can make Maghrib up to, as I said just now, an hour, 10 minutes or so after sunset. So if your sunset in Durban is 5:10, you still got, and you're finishing exams at 5:30, you can make the Maghrib Salah after that. However, the Asr Salah, that I think will present a problem because the earliest that the Asr Salah comes in, the earliest time would be around about 3:00, I think. And if you're writing the exam from 2:30, then you won't have the time to make the Asr Salah. What I would suggest, two things here. This is subject to confirmation. You need to find out what is the earliest Asr time in your area in the Shafi Mazhab. Then you can make your Asr Salah during that time. Now, I'm not sure because I don't have the Durban calendar in front of me, but your local ulama will be able to tell you that if your Shafi Asr time is earlier than 2:30. I think, Mulana, the sister said the exam started at 2:30.
So
if your Asr Salah, the Shafi time is earlier, you can make your Asr Salah during that time. However, if the Asr Salah doesn't start before 2:30, even in the Shafi Mazhab, then there's no way that you can make Asr before that time. Then the next option, the other option is that you can't leave the exam room, we understand that. But you will definitely, you have to make an appeal or maybe a request to the examiners and to the invigilators, whoever is there, that you have wudu, you must go with wudu, and ask permission to put your musalla down somewhere in the corner, so you're not leaving the room at one spot, and just to make your offer your prayers, your Asr Salah, And I'm sure these people will understand by now, the world knows how particular and how conscientious Muslims are over their salah. So you'll have to offer the salah there. There's no way that you can allow the exams to cause you to miss your salah. It'll be a major sin if you make that asr salah qada. And this is something that people must understand. You can't, for any worldly reason, you can't miss out a salah unless you are forced to. When someone forces you, or you're in such a situation that you just can't get out or get time or get a place to make the salah, yeah, there are possibilities. And one is this, as I said, that you go with wudu, keep that wudu, and at the earliest time possible, you seek permission from the people that are in the examination room, that are monitoring the exams, to offer salah. You take your musalla with, I'm sure that is not a prohibition. So you can offer the salah there at some time, and this is something that I think you may need to explore. The first option, again, I repeat, that if you're in your area, the Shafi salah time starts before 2:30, then you have the option of making the Asr salah during that time, during the Shafi time, and then going in for the exams.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Saab. I do believe we have another caller waiting on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, I think that person has probably dropped the call. If you want, you can call back. Again, the number 011-854-1548. The other platforms is the studio WhatsApp number 48855. The personal WhatsApp number 060-988-3972. Mufti Saab, a question coming through. Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. I would like to find out if making masah of 3/4 of the head, is it a must in wudu, and will wudu be completed? Reason being, some people do not make full masah of the head. They rather just wash 3 strands in the front of the head. Please explain. Shukra.
Okay, let me explain here. In the Hanafi mazhab, what is farad is to make at least masah of 1/4 of the head. That is the farad in the Hanafi mazhab. And what you saw about people just making masah of a few strands, that is in the Shafi mazhab. So we don't, and we cannot condemn them. They are practicing their mazhab, so they've got the right, and in fact they are bound to do that. If you are following the Shafi, you've got to stick to that mazhab. If you are Hanafi, then the minimum amount of masah on the head is 1/4. And then just to complete this, the Maliki mazhab says you must make masah of the whole head. So what we advise people, though these are minimum amounts, Shafi, Hanafi, but the best is, and of course it will be the sunnah, to make masah of the entire head. So people shouldn't just do that out of laziness. Some people don't understand, and they think, well, we just need to maybe do a few strands. I'm a Shafi, I can just do a few strands, so I fulfill the farz. But what's happening is you are missing out on the sunnah. And even in fact, in all the mazhab, Shafi, Hanafi, Hanbali, Maliki, the sunnah is to do the entire head, and to do it in a way where you make masah of the head by starting at the front, bringing the hands to the back, and then bringing the hands forward again to cover the entire head. That is how the masah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is explained in the Hadith Sharif. And this is what we should try to do at all times. But when you're speaking of the farz, then in the Hanafi mazhab, the minimum is 1/4 of the head. And as I said, in the Shafi mazhab, it's only a few strands, and that masah will be valid.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Saab. Other questions coming through. The person that asked the question on the tawaf, Mufti Saab explained about making the tawaf on behalf of deceased people. The person now asks, maaf, the tawaf for family members and deceased parents, does it have to be one for each person, or can you just make one tawaf on behalf of all of them?
What you are doing here is, when you make the tawaf, you are making it in your own capacity, but you are sending the reward for those who have passed on. So therefore you can make one tawaf and give the reward to all, or the option is yours, the choice is yours. You can make more than one tawaf and dedicate a separate tawaf for each particular marhum, each particular deceased family member. The options are permissible, both ways are permissible, but you are sending the reward to the deceased family members or to the marhumin, and that's why you can just make one tawaf, and that will also suffice.
Jazakallah, Mufti Sahab. Another question, we have vacant building land and lots of churches want to hire it. Are we allowed to rent it to them?
It's not permissible to lease out premises to a church or to a group that will conduct church services or that will use that building for their worship and their ibadah. This is not allowed, and we should be wary of this and refuse these types of transactions.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Sahab. Another question coming through. I make wudu every night before going to bed. Is it essential to make two rakats, or can I just get into bed?
It's not necessary to make the two rakats. It's good to do it, the two rakats, tahiyatul wudu, especially before you're going to sleep. But if you don't, there's nothing wrong in this. It's not necessary. After wudu, and that's the sunnah, you can go straight into bed. It will be totally permissible. There's no sin in that.
Okay, Mufti Sahab, I see a question coming through with regards to the, it is probably based on the answer that Mufti Sahab gave with regards to that, the person that asked the question about the writing of exam. So when the person is asking, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, I would like to know, earlier on Mufti Sahab said we can make Asr Salah till Maghrib Salah, but do we not consider sunset time?
Can you just repeat that, Mawla?
The question reads, I would like to know, earlier on, Mufti Sahab said we can make Asr Salah till Maghrib Salah. Do we then not consider sunset time?
You consider sunset as the time for Maghrib starting and the time of Asr ending. So if you started your Asr before the sunset, then in this particular case, you can continue making the Asr, it will be valid because you started it before the sunset. But if the sun has already set, then you must understand that this is, now firstly, your Asr is Qada, and it's makruh to make Salah during sunset time. So then you have to wait till after sunset and then offer your Asr first and then your Maghrib. Now sunset means those three, you know, we normally give 3 minutes. If you look at your timetable, let's say now the timetable says sunset is 5:15. So here in Port Elizabeth, our sunset is 5:15. So we're going to make Maghrib at 5:18. In other words, 5:18, that is now the time when Maghrib Azan goes. But you got right up to that time, if you started your Asr Salat before that 5:18, it will be valid. Maybe the questioner is concerned about not being allowed to make Salah, that we always hear we're not allowed to make Salah during 3 times, sunrise, sunset and zawal. That is correct, but this excludes the Asr Salah for that day. The Asr Salah for that day is excluded from this general ruling, because for the Asr that particular day, the Asr for that day which you didn't make, you can still make it at sunset. And once the sun is set completely, then of course the time is out. So to maybe confirm that again, that the sunset time will not be considered here. That means while the sun is setting, because the Asr Salah of that particular day, you can make it even while the sun is setting. You have to make it because it's a Farad Salah, and there's no other time that you can't wait and delay it. You already delayed it so long. So you can make it during that time, but remember that if you started the Asr Salah before sunset, you can carry on with it. It will still be considered as an Ada Salah, although it's makruh. So this is important. It's makruh to delay the Salah for that time. And once the sun has already set, now this is, as I said, the time when our Adhan goes for Maghrib and the time that we make Iftar. If at that point in time you had not read the Asr Salah, then it's over, it's now Qada. You got to wait till after sunset and then offer the Asr Salah first and then make your Maghrib, because you have to keep that sequence between Asr and Maghrib.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Sahab, for the clarification as well. There's another clarification that is sought here. This is with regards to Mufti Sahab having explained the masla of reading Thana in the beginning of Tarawih. So the question comes, Maaf Malana, I'm just clarifying, should Thana be read in the beginning of Sunnat Salah, Fard Salah, Witr Salah as well? Mufti Sahab, Maaf, before we go to this, I see our engineer indicating that there's a call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam. I wonder if you can help me. I want to know if I've kept my roza and if I forgot to make the niyat. But my intention is to keep roza. And then later in the day I realize maybe I haven't made the niyat. So what do I do?
Okay.
Will my roza be valid?
Mufti Sahab will respond, right, Abba?
Jazakallah.
Oh, okay. Mufti Sahab, with regards to niyat in fasting?
Yes, your roza will be valid, yeah, because you had that intention. You see, niyat means the intention that you have in your mind. It's not necessary to read the particular dua or the intention that people normally read, Allahumma sumu laka ghadan, on a way to anasuma. That's not necessary. If you had the intention to fast, but you never said these words, that is valid because the basic need is what is in your mind, what is in your heart, and you had that. So later in the day, you remembered or you realized that you never read that particular wording. It's not a problem. You don't need to read it. As long as you hadn't eaten, of course, after Sehri. And because your intention was to fast, that is why you did not eat and you abstained from food and drink. So that intention and that need is found. So your fast was valid and there's no need to worry about qada.
Okay, Mufti Sahab, JazakAllah for explaining that. We now go back to the question that we were busy with. Assalamu alaikum. I would just like to clarify. Should Thana be read in the beginning of Sunnat, Farad, as well as Witr Salah? Also, if I wasn't reading Thana in any Salah besides the Farad Salah, would those Salah be accepted?
Yes, Thana is Sunnat for all Namazes, for all the Salah, whether it is Sunnat, whether it's Nafil Salah, whether it is your Tahajjud, your Farad Salah. Sana is a Sunnat for all the Namazes, for all the Salah. If you did not read the Sana, your Sana was valid, because I said just now that the Sana is a Sunnah of Salah. If you leave out a Sunnah of Salah, or you leave out a Mustahab act of Salah, the Sana will still be valid, although the reward is lessened, but there's no need to repeat that Sana. As I said, that Sana is a Sunnah. And if you did not leave out the sunnah, you did not leave, or rather you did not read the sana, your salah was valid. And from now onwards, just remember that it is sunnah for every salah, and you should read it in all your namazes.
JazakAllah, Mufti Sahab. The person asks, can Mufti Sahab please explain the procedure and the reward of a female that wishes to perform itikaf?
Yes, the itikaf during the last 10 days of Ramadan is a sunnah. And one of the rewards that appear in the hadith that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a person who performs one day of i'tikaf for the sake of Allah, then Allah will create between that person and the fire of Jahannam such a trench, the distance will be a journey of 500 years. So imagine that huge distance between that individual and the fire of Jahannam means that a person won't even go near, won't be taken near the fire of Jahannam. So the rewards are great. And another hadith sharif says that the Prophet says, "Huwa ya'takifu az-zunub wa yajri lahu min al-hasanat ka'amil al-hasanati kulliha aw kama qal." A person who makes i'tikaf, then Allah Ta'ala grants that person forgiveness of sin. Ya'takifu min az-zunub, in other words, one is sitting i'tikaf and washing away, wiping away all the sins. And Allah Ta'ala grants that person the reward of all those good deeds that he or she would have done had they not been sitting in itikaf. So this is the reward for itikaf. And the female itikaf can be done in the home. She must select either the namaz room, if there is a namaz room. And I always like to remind families about this, that every house should have a namaz room. Every home should have a place or a room that is dedicated for their namaz, for their salawat. This is a sunnah, And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha mentioned this as the hadith comes in Abu Dawud. So it's something that we must always consider, especially if you're building a house or you bought a house. So look at a room that you can dedicate and set aside only for namaz, so the ladies especially can read their namaz in there, they can make the dhikr, and that you can select for itikaf, or you can select your bedroom, and that can also be a place of itikaf. It must be somewhere where you are secluded, and the itikaf starts before Maghrib on the 20th of Ramadan. So in other words, if today, for example, is 20th Ramadan, then tonight before Maghrib, that will be the 21st night. One has to be in that particular designated area for itikaf, that room or that namaz room, the woman will have to go in, and then she will not be able to come out except for to answer the call of nature, to make wudu, and those are basically two major reasons when she's allowed to leave that particular room, and for the rest of the time she will be there, she will sleep there, eat there, and also make her ibadat, dhikr, tilawat of Quran, and nafil salah, and so forth, durood sharif. You engage in all the different types of ibadat that is possible, and that is basically the itikaf for the female, and of course we believe there is great reward in that too. Besides the rewards in terms of your ibadat, and the reward that I mentioned, for the itikaf, the other great benefit is the spiritual benefit, where you are, by sacrificing your time and restraining yourself, you also learn, develop the restraint of the nafs and the carnal desires.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Sahib. Another question coming through. A Muslim was banned from reading Salah, reading Namaz in... Okay, they give the name of the masjid, but we'll leave the name out. So a Muslim was banned from reading Namaz in a masjid by a self-appointed chairman of the masjid. Was that action right? That Muslim was served with a lawyer's letter, non-Muslim lawyer used for the ban.
This is the first time we hear of an issue like this, where a Muslim is banned from the masjid. And normally, situations like this where there is dispute between two parties, we don't want to give a fatwa, because we don't know the cases, we don't hear the story from both sides. But let me just explain something in general, and I'll give both sides of the issue. If a person is banned from a masjid for no valid Shari reason, there's no reason that one people have to ban someone, then of course it's a major sin. Allah mentions this in the Quran Kareem, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ مَنَعَ مَسَاجِنَ اللَّهِ أَيُّذْكَرَ فِي هَسْمُ, that who is more oppressive, who is more zalim, who is a bigger zalim than one who stops people from the house of Allah. So this is if a person is a normal musalli coming, and just because of personal differences, personal issues, or worldly issues, you are stopping a person from the house of Allah, then of course it's a very heinous crime in the sight of Allah. The second thing is, if a person comes to the masjid but causes some type of harm to the musallis, then in Sharia it's allowed, it's permissible for the authorities to stop that person from coming to the masjid. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited certain people from going to the house of Allah. For example, he said a person who eats certain food that cause a very bad smell to the mouth, when you go to the masjid, you're going to offend the people that you stand next to. So you rather read your salah at home. And you can, even today, you ask people, some people that are excessive, that are actually, what do you call this, addictive smokers. They smoke a lot, so sometimes the smell becomes so severe that when they stand next to you in the salah, you really can't concentrate. It's very difficult to keep your focus because of the smell. So a person, likewise, person who does certain types of work, you work in a certain environment, and the work environment, it leaves that smell on the clothing, whatever work you are doing. So that person should rather read his salah at home, or else cleanse himself thoroughly before coming to the masjid. Here Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left it to the individual to read salah at home and not to offend the musallis. In the books of fiqh, it is mentioned that if a person comes to the masjid and causes offense to the musallis, causes harm to them, then it will be permissible for the imam and the trustees to prevent that person from coming to the masjid. So these are the two sides of this particular scenario, or let's say the two scenarios. I don't know which one applies here, whether the person who was banned from the masjid was banned for valid shari reasons, or whether it was just a personal grudge. And as I said, that the only time we can decide and really rule on this is if we hear the story from both sides and we get down to the exact reason why this particular brother was banned from the house of Allah.
Jazakallah, Mufti Sahab. If I calculate my zakat in the month of Ramadan, do I have to pay it out in Ramadan or can it be paid later?
You can pay the zakat later. Any time after the date when your zakat is due, and that will be your 12 Islamic months, any time thereafter, you can pay your zakat. It doesn't have to be paid in the month of Ramadan.
Okay, Mufti Sahab, the person asks, can you kindly give tips for studying?
Tips for studying, all I can say is that, you know, maybe read these du'as like Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. But then of course we need to know what are you studying. Thing I studied was my Arabic kitab, so I can give you tips on that if you, that's what you're studying. But if it is Sada studies, then I can just say that learn hard. One thing that is a general, it's a general sort of application that applies to all people that are learning any subject or any, following any course. And it, we also heard it in our madrasas, that you attend the classes regularly. Number two, you pay full attention to what the teacher or the lecturer is saying. And number three, you revise the lesson afterwards. Now, if you do this, and I've experienced this when we studied our kitabs and when we had to write exams, that if you do this, your studying becomes easy, the things remain in your mind longer, and when it time comes for exams, and then you go over your work, you go over your books, you find all those things will come back to your mind, and it stays for long in the mind, and it makes it easier to answer the questions at the time for exams. And then, as I said, a good dua is Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. That is when you are writing the exams. And then also this verse number 24 of Surah Kahf. Surah Kahf is a famous surah in the Quran Kareem. We read this every Friday. So verse number 24, where Allah says that wazkur rabbaka idha nasit. You read this particular portion of the ayat, wazkur rabbaka idha nasit. And Allah willing, you will remember the answers. The answers will come to mind.
Jazakallah for that, Mufti Sahab. Another question with regards to performing Umrah for a deceased person. So I think we spoke earlier on Tawaf. This question is asking about Umrah for a deceased person. Is it permissible and will you get the reward?
Yes, you can also do that. You can make Umrah for a deceased. And as I said, that when you perform that Umrah, you're doing it on your own behalf, in your own capacity, you get the reward, and that is a reward that you can also share with those that have passed on, the deceased relatives. So you can make that Umrah also on behalf of the others, but when I say on behalf of them, on behalf of deceased, it means that you convey the rewards and the sawab of that Umrah to the deceased.
Jazakumullah. I invested a certain amount of money with a company with a fixed return every month. How will zakat be calculated? Will it only be on the return or also on the capital?
If you invested that money in a business venture, then you need to consider now, of course, we sometimes the types of investment is not known. But you need to find out if that investment is in a business where there is ongoing trade and there is stock, then you are a partner in that particular stock as well. So your zakat will have to be paid on that stock, on the value of that stock. It's just like you own your own business and you put money into your business to buy stock and you're trading. Now when the time comes for zakat, you take a value of your stock and you pay 2.5% after you've deducted your liabilities and your debts, you pay 2.5% on the value of that that remains after your liabilities. So the same applies here. If you invested in a business venture where there is ongoing trade and there is stock that is held by that particular company, then you are a partner in that stock and you have to pay zakat on the value of your stock or the value of your share in that stock after, of course, taking off your debts and whatever you owe people. As far as the profits are concerned or the returns, you're getting cash money, we assume, so that will just go into your cash reserves and whatever bank balance you have or whatever cash you have, and that also is accountable at the end of the year. So that's a separate issue. You don't need to count that separately. You just add that to the cash money that you have. You probably use some of it in the course of the year. So at the end of 12 Islamic months, whatever cash you have, you pay zakat on that separately. The other scenario is that if that investment was in property, you invested in the company, they bought property, they're paying you from the rent, then remember there's no zakat on property. There's no zakat on property. In other words, a property that is put out for rental. Yes, the rental that you get, the cash money, the same thing will apply what I said just now, that it goes into your cash savings, your cash reserves, and from there now you will calculate 2.5% after the Islamic period of 12 months and after you deduct your liabilities and debts. That is now zakat on the cash which is in your possession.
Jazakallah Mufti Sahib, another question. I would like to know that when keeping qada fast, what is the correct intentions? Because people like keeping qada because they want to lose weight. What will the qada fast, will the qada fast be accepted?
Now, of course, if you're keeping the qada for that reason, then it is still acceptable, it is valid. But remember, it's very unethical and it is contrary to Sharia to have this type of intention. Yes, if it is a secondary thing where you have this in mind that by fasting I will lose weight or I will remain healthy, that is also valid, but the first objective should be to pay the debt that is owed to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a lady came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she wanted to know about her father could not make Hajj, and she wanted to know could she make the Hajj on his behalf, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked her that if your father owed someone money and you have money in your possession, would you feel it right to pay the debt as a service to your father? She says, yes, indeed. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, well, the debt of Allah has got a greater right over you. So this qada is a debt of Allah and you need to pay it. And that is the main objective. It is to pay, to fulfill my debt to Allah, to discharge my responsibility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't make it only a physical, don't make the objective physical only, that well, I want to lose weight or I want to remain healthy. Even your nafil fast that you keep, remember, keep it for the sake of Allah, for reward. Don't keep it for just a worldly purpose, because then what happens, you lose the reward. You're going through this difficulty of abstaining from food and drink for the whole day, and at the end of the day, you've got nothing to show for it in the Akhirah. So don't be so silly and lose the rewards. Make a niyat that you are doing this for the sake of Allah, and other benefits will definitely come.
Mufti Sahib, the question reads, what do you do with interest money?
Interest money, the first way of disposing it and the best way is to give it out to the poor, to give it to poor people. And this can be, of course, Muslim or non-Muslim, because it is a sadaqah that you're giving, although you don't get any reward for this. So that's the best way to dispose of interest money. It is to use it for the poor. If you have any organization, a reputable organization that are helping the poor, that are giving out food, etc. for the poor, you can also give the interest money to that particular organization and they can then distribute it on your behalf.
Mufti Sahib, another message comes through. Firstly, they want to know, is there any specific time that you should avoid going to shower? And then secondly, they want to know, if you're making nafil salah and your wudu breaks during the salah, does a qada have to be made for that nafil salah? If your wudu constantly breaks during salah, what's the ruling?
Regarding the showering, and I'm not sure if a person is referring to fasting. While fasting, there's no particular time that you should shower or time that it is makruh to shower. You can have your ghusl at any time, and if it is a farad ghusl, then the sooner the better. So there's no restriction there in terms of the time to have a bath. With regards to nafil salah, if you start the nafil salah and you read one rakat, or you made the sajda of the first rakat, then that nafil salah becomes binding upon you. If thereafter your wudu broke, then you have to make the qada of that nafil salah. So remember, this is, you started the nafil salah, you went into the first sajda, you completed the first sajda, and then the wudu broke, then that nafil salah becomes a qada. You got to make it, and you just need to make the two rakats. If you made a niyat of four, let's say you made a niyat of four tahajjud, and then after the first rakat, your wudu broke, then you only need to pay back two rakats of the nafil salah, because nafil salah, it works in units of two at a time. Regarding the person whose wudu always breaks, well, if it is a situation like this comes about where you can't keep the wudu for such a duration of time where you can make wudu and make at least a four rakats farz salah or a four rakats salah, then in that case you qualify as a mazur. If this lasts for the entire duration of a namaz time, like maybe from Subh Sadiq till sunrise, or from after Zawal till Asr time, so for the whole of Dhuhr time, you have this constant and incessant passing of wind, and you can't keep the wudu for that duration of time, then you are qualified as a mazur. Then you don't need to worry, make one wudu at the start of the namaz time. With that wudu, you can make the current farz salah, you can make your sunnahs, and you can make as much nafil salah. When you get up for tahajjud, if you still have this problem, then you just make one wudu at tahajjud time, and you can read all your tahajjud salah, all nafil salah during tahajjud time with that wudu. When fajr time comes in, when it is subh sadiq, that wudu will break. You just refresh and renew the wudu again.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Sahib. Another question reads, are we allowed to read two rakat nafil salah but make several intentions, example two rakats for salah to shukr, tawbah, wudu, hajat, etc.?
Yes, with nafil salah this is allowed. So you can make multiple intentions for one nafil salah. One nafil salah means a two rakat salah, because as I said, nafil works in two units, in units of two rakats. So you can make an intention, let's say you made wudu, so you make intention of tahiyatul wudu, you can make intention of tawbah salah, you can make intention of salatul shukr, and even salatul hajid. So for nafil salah, you can make any other nafil intention. That is permissible.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Sahib. What about nose bleeding? Does it break the fast?
Nose bleeding does not break the fast. And we know that generally when a person is suffers nose bleeding, the blood runs out. There's no question of the blood going into the nose. However, if due to some situation, a person may be sleeping, and then you wake up and you discover that you can feel a very strong taste of blood in the throat, and you know that you swallowed some of this, then the fast will break. But generally, that is not the case. So if a person's nose bleeds during the day in Ramadan while fasting, the fast is still valid.
JazakAllah, Mufti Sahib. In calculating zakat, if your business is trading in gold and silver coins, how would you calculate the zakat? Would it be calculated on the value of gold or silver in the coin, or on the trade value?
Now, in this case, that gold and silver coins, or the gold and silver that you are dealing with, it becomes your stock in trade. So you need to take your stock price. In other words, you need to take a value of the, not the the gold content or the silver content, but the value in terms of that particular commodity as a merchandise. And for this we say you take the value on a wholesale basis, not your cost price nor your retail price, but what you would get for that if you sell it on a wholesale or from the wholesaler, or if you have to sell it to another wholesaler, what will the value be of that particular gold and silver? That is your value for zakat purposes. So in other words, if you are selling gold and silver, then treat it as stock in trade, and how you evaluate your stock for zakat purpose, you'll do the same here in the gold and silver.
JazakAllah Mufti Sahib, the question reads, Assalamu alaikum, can a person read Isha Witr Namaz before starting with the Taraweeh with Jamaat?
It is permissible to read the Witr Salah before Taraweeh. Your Witr will be valid. But of course the Sunnah is to read the Witr Salah after having performed the Taraweeh Salah.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Sahib. Another question is, Assalamu alaikum, I just need to clarify if in itikaf I can only leave the room for the call of nature. Can you have a shower, and what about sari and iftar? I fast alone, my mother is aged and ill, and she will not be able to prepare my iftar and sari. It's only the two of us at home.
Well, in this case, you are allowed to go out and get the food or even make the food. That is permissible. But eating it, you've got to come back into the room where you are making i'tikaf. Any person who is in i'tikaf, even for the menfolk, if there's a need to get food from outside, if there's no one to bring the food, it will be permissible. In fact, the ulama have written to this extent that even if the mu'takif means the person sitting i'tikaf, even if the mu'takif has to go home to fetch his food when there's no one to bring it, that will be jais, but he can't sit at home and enjoy the meal. He's got to come back to the masjid and bring the food with him. So likewise here, the woman is in i'tikaf in her room or in the namaz room. She is permitted to go out and fetch the food or even cook the food, but bring it back to eat inside the mu'takaf or the place where the i'tikaf is taking place. And that is permissible. So although I gave these two conditions, but in cases like this where there's no one to bring the food, no one to prepare the food, it will be jais for the female to go out and make the food, prepare it, and bring it back into the place where she is sitting for i'tikaf.
JazakAllah Mufti Sahib, what happens if you miss a rakat of Taraweeh?
If you miss a rakat of Taraweeh, just like any other salah, you will fill it in when the imam makes salam. So you sit for your attahiyat, tashahud as normal. When the imam says the salam, you get up and you make one rakat. Now here in this one rakat, you don't need to read what the imam has recited. You might not be a hafiz of the Quran, but you just read. You can read any surah of your choice, a short surah, and complete that rakat. That will be valid. But as I said, that missing a rakat for Taraweeh Salah, it has to be filled in like you fill in any other normal rakats that are missed in normal Salah. And you don't need to read the Qiraat that the Imam made in the Taraweeh.
Mufti Sahib, unfortunately, we still have quite a few questions, but we have run out of time. We're just going to take this one last question. Are you allowed to swallow a pill without water while fasting?
That is not permissible, because even taking medication will break the fast. And I must also make people aware of this, that what breaks a fast, if one deliberately takes in food and drink, or any medication that provides relief to the body, if that is taken deliberately in the month of Ramadan, whether it is taken with water, without water, it will break the fast and it will also necessitate a kafara. Breaking the fast means there is qada, plus there is kafara for that. So we need to be very careful of this. And taking that pill, even without water, it will definitely break the fast.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Sahib. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you in abundance. As we said, there is quite a few calls, quite a few messages rather, that have still come through. But unfortunately, we still need to take one more ad break, and then the hour is going to be finished. We would like to thank you, Mufti Sahib, for your time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you in abundance, sharing your time with us and sharing your knowledge with us.
Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi. Mufti Sahib, we request you for your special duas. For the listeners, JazakAllah for listening, JazakAllah for sending in those questions. We are all learning all the time when these questions come through. It becomes a means of us gaining understanding in these various masail that come through. And so many of them, in fact, rather, we would say all of them are pertinent matters. It applies to all of our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq that we can practice on the complete deen that was brought to us by Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Any of your questions were sent through and we did not get time to ask them. Firstly, we humbly ask you to please forgive us. We will, inshallah, try and give those questions preference next week. And JazakAllah for listening to the program. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.